I think almost every coach can agree that at some point in your client journey, the mundane is the thing that moves the needle forward, the rinse and repeats, and giving your client the proper tools for behavioral intervention so that they have long-lasting results. And that's actually what makes a really incredible coach. In this episode, I have the honor of interviewing Aram, who is an industry leader in the fitness coaching space. And he not only brings simplicity to his content, which really starts conversations, but he also brings simplicity to his clients' journey so that they can stay in great shape year round. And this is truly what I believe makes a really incredible coach. So if you're an online coach, no matter what industry you're in, this episode is great for you if you really want to learn how to get your clients' results, but how to push them through that almost plateaued mindset of getting it on with the mundane and being willing to push through it and do those rinse and repeats even when shit gets boring. So glad that you're here. Let's tune into today's episode. Welcome to the Strive for Strength podcast. I'm your host, Kendall Strample. I'm an online wealth and business coach for huge visionary coaches just like you. And I'm here to help you compartmentalize your massive ideas and turn them into a step-by-step action plan. After scaling two coaching companies to multiple seven figures by the age of 23, I want to help you collapse time and give you the steps that you need in these short episodes. So get cozy. Let's dive in. The podcast. I have a really awesome guest here with me today, Aram. Welcome. What's up, dude? How are you?
Good morning and not so sunny San Diego today.
Is it not sunny there?
It just poured for like 12 minutes straight and then like the sun peaked out and then it got hidden and scared again.
I stole the sunshine.
Where are you now?
I'm in Austin now.
Oh, everybody's moving. I'm losing all my fitness people to Austin.
No, right? That was a big part of the jump for me to move is the community out here. It's gnarly. Like they're super cool.
It's a lot more of a practical group of people as opposed to out here, which is very influency.
Yes.
Yeah. I just find myself not belonging as far as like, but I don't really immerse in the community here very, very much. I kind of try to stay to the people that I know online or I find out about other people online. I just connect with them. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm actually moving to La Mesa in 2 weeks.
Oh, cool. I used to have a place out in La Mesa. It's a good way to like save yourself some. There's some good gyms in La Mesa too. So,
well, it's funny because you move out to California with this like romantic vision that you're gonna be like one of those people that's like working on the coffee shop by the beach next to the ocean every single day. And then like I've lived here for 3 years. I've been in the water twice.
I feel that. That's how I was. Like I lived there for 7 years. I'm like, dude, I went to the beach all but four times to catch the sun. It's like, okay, well, now I live right on the water in Austin, which is dope because I can at least I can see it. You know, I can see it. I'm like, yeah. I don't have to go, but I can see it. It's convenient enough, you know. But that's the cool thing about what we do too. You know, I feel like it's really easy to find your people. Like you have all your internet friends who like share the same values, like the same belief systems and stuff too, which I'm sure for you has been like a big part of just like growth and being able to find community outside of just like where you live, which I guess that's kind of like a good segue. I have a question before I even hop into any of this like coach stuff or what you do or who you are. Where the fuck did you get the name from? Like, where'd you get the Instagram name from?
So do you know who Allie Gilbert is?
Yeah, yeah.
So Allie hated that name. When I first started coaching, when I first started the Instagram handle, because it was my name for a while. I think I had my name as my Instagram handle from like 2015 to like 2019. And then I LLC'd my business in 2019 after I got certified for level one NCI. And I wanted to start online coaching. I'm like, this name, like, I want to name it something else. And I was like thinking of like, okay, my general thesis of how I want to coach people is I want to coach people to a better average behavioral day. Like, I don't want people to like overhaul their life or like, you know, I don't want to do these like 90-day transformations. I want your average behavior to be so goddamn good that like when you have something to do or you want to be more aesthetically pleasing or more confident for something, you don't have to like rewire all of your behavior patterns. Like you're already 90% of the way there. So that's where like 4 weeks to the beach came from. It's the idea that you're always in this perpetual state of like upper end maintenance. And then if you want to like, you know, you're going to a bachelorette party or going to travel for a couple of weeks or you got something coming up and you don't have to like, all you got to do is just like fine tune the knobs just a little bit and you're right there.
That's super smart. And I'm so glad it's so funny that you brought this up because this is one of the topics I want to bring up is like how simple you are with like things that you do with like your content. And like even the advice you give, like the way you present it is like a really easy way to digest it. Like I feel like a lot of people can overcomplicate things really easily. And I think even you just teaching like states of perpetual maintenance and just having good behavior year round. Like obviously we're fucking human, like we're gonna human sometimes, right? But
I'm curious because you mentioned this, even like the behavioral intervention, and like you obviously need to add acute stress over time to like get better at the thing with perpetual maintenance, right? But like, what's it initially like for like even you and your clients? Because there has to be like some of that initial behavioral intervention, right? When you're even going into like maintenance mode, what do you find is like the thing that most people need to? I mean, obviously, for you being a nutrition coach, I'm sure it's like the nutrition side, but there's also a huge mindset piece to that. What do you think needs to initially rewire for somebody to like really be able to get into that state of perpetual maintenance?
I think it's our responsibility as coaches to have these very vulnerable and transparent conversations immediately before people even pay you anything. I set the standard and I set the expectations for their involvement and their participation immediately. And I also express to them what my deliverables to them are going to be. So there's no confusion. Like, you sign up with me, you are tracking your food. Not disordered, it's not fucked up. Like, that's not the narrative I subscribe to. I need data. Without data, I can't help you. You are going to send me videos of you training so I can give you feedback on your training. I'm not going to coach you on nutrition if I'm not involved in your training. I think the two have to match up somehow and there has to be an alignment there. And I talk to them about the fact that I don't give a shit about your fat loss. I really don't. What I care about is, am I going to teach you skill sets that you'll have for the rest of your life so that at any point, there's some level of confidence and autonomy to do this by yourself because you'll lose and gain fat the rest of your life. I don't care who you are, how you're doing it. Like, you're going to fluctuate weight most of the time. And that's not my primary concern because if I wanted to bury somebody's calories, I could do it tomorrow, but that's not going to be productive for them for the long haul. So I talk so strongly about behavior management and self-awareness and personal responsibility that I don't have any clients who, like, if they have a shit weekend of eating and, like, let's say they just like went off the rails for the fuck of it, they don't bitch to me on Monday morning because they're like, yep, my decision. I'm an adult. Like, I went for the extra food because I felt like it and I did not give a shit about my goals this weekend. Cool. I'm not going to hold you over the coals for that. You're, like you said, people are going to human. Like, you're a human being who felt like eating whatever that weekend. Comes at a price. It's not going to be the biggest price in the world. And it's not going to mean that you're unraveling months of progress, but it's also going to be something that you have to be responsible for. And if your scale ticks up on Monday, well, shame on you for stepping on it. Like, what did you expect? So I'm just like, the way I communicate on Instagram is exactly the way I communicate in real life. So, like, people know exactly what they're getting. And I think the problem that I see with coaching is that I want more coaches to be vulnerable about who they are as people. Like, I'm not seeing enough of that. Like they're giving a lot of advice that's very, I don't want to say it's absolutist, but it's just very like, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's like, okay, yeah, like, we know protein is good for you. Like, most people that are like consuming content are beyond the basics at this point. They've been doing this for, they've followed accounts like mine or better than mine for months and years on end, but they're still stuck. So what's the problem? The problem isn't the X's and O's. The problem is the stuff that's going on between their ears. And that's what we as coaches have to start to manage better.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm really glad you said this because I think this is a lot of like what actually makes a good coach. And I think this year we're seeing that start to separate the space a good bit is like the people who are actually understanding behavioral intervention, behavioral management. I think something I love about you, Ram, is I think I saw this on your story. I don't know when this was, if it was recently or what. And you were talking about the crumble cookie situation of like you ate a, I do not blame you. Those things are so good.
You
They're
seen
so.
this week's? Have you seen this week's lineup?
No, I haven't. I don't want to look at it. I can't. I'm not going to. They had a pancake one a few weeks ago, and I was like,
That
I'm over it. Like a carrot cake one. I was like, I'm over it.
carrot cake one was bomb.
I don't even want to know because literally, oh, I'll have regrets. But yeah, I mean, that's what I really love about you is like you share and you're really transparent even about your own journey. I mean, you've been coaching for years too, right? So it's like really cool to see you like, say that you did it and like, yeah, there's obviously probably some emotion or whatever behind it, but you present in a very objective way. It's like, this is what the fuck happened. And like, this is probably why it happened. And here's like what I'm doing from it. And also there's a lesson from that as well. And like seeing that transparency, it's like, oh wait, Aram's been doing this for years. Like even he still has days where that comes up and it's like, well, yeah, he's also human, you know, and bringing that more to light and like being able to shed light on that. I'm curious, like, with the state of perpetual maintenance and like that's kind of like what your forte is and you kind of have this more simple objective view around it. The expectation management obviously is a big part of that, like you said, like setting the expectation. Obviously, I mean, not everyone's perfect, like we said. Like, what is your approach? Because I think this is the key. Like, this is really the key to coaching that not a lot of people learn from the get-go. And I wish more coaches understood that it's not just about like getting a CPT and like getting certified, it's like also understanding people. What do you do in the case where like that client does have that behavior where it doesn't necessarily align with the goal, or it does kind of throw them a little bit off track? Like, what's your, I guess, not bounce back method, but how is your approach as a coach with that?
I have such an open door policy from a communication standpoint with all my clients that like they know that they don't have to wait for their check-ins to let me know what's going on. You know, like my one-on-one clients are having check-ins every week. And then my group clients are having check-ins bi-weekly, but my phone is given to everybody. So I'm not on WhatsApp. I'm not going through like Viber. Like everybody has my direct line. And I know that that's a lot different than the way other people want to coach, but that's fine. But I enjoy being able to have that immediate communication. So example, woman I'm working with, she got divorced from her husband a while back, but they were still living together. And he's moving out this week. And it's the first time in her adult life that she's going to be single, living on her own, and budgeting her finances on her own. And she's obviously very, very, very distraught about it. I mean, it's a massive life change. Like, do you think that this week we give a shit about what her macros are or how good her training was this week? Like, no, that's not what we're talking about. So I said to her, I said, as often as you need me this week or next week and the week after, like, just text me and say, hey, like, this is what's going on. Like, if I, you know, the bandwidth that I have, I'll proactively reach out to you too to see how you're doing. But like, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to need a little extra TLC. And it's going to be mostly based because of something that's going to be hindering your compliance for some reason. And that's where I think that's when coaching starts to become really important. Like, we're an insurance policy. That's really all we are. Like, we don't need to be utilized when things are going well. You know, if you're nailing your food, if you're feeling great, if you're nailing your workouts, my job is to sit back and just to encourage you to keep going. But my real job starts when shit hits the fan. Like when you crash your car, you have to call your car insurance company. But you're going to keep paying them every single month regardless because you need that insurance. And that's what we are as coaches. That's how I present myself to my clients. So it's really just letting them know, like, hey, you have a lot of work to do from a behavioral standpoint. And before you understand any of the nuances of nutrition, we have to get the basics nailed down. And the basics are really mundane, but they're really important because nothing in your life is super exciting. Let's be very honest. Like, you say you want food variety, but you eat the same shit every time you go to the restaurant and your coffee order is exactly the same. You know, you say that you want all this excitement in your training, but you're training two or three times a week. How much excitement do you really need? And if you're leaning on excitement with food and training, like how much fulfillment are you really having in life? If like that, those are the two areas of excitement for you. Like, we have to dig a little deeper than that. So it's just challenging people to think differently and not being afraid to have hard conversations with them. Because I think a lot of coaches are afraid of digging deep because A, they don't know how to do it because they've never done it themselves. And then they're afraid of pissing people off. Like, I'm like, I'm not here to be your best friend. Like, I'd like to be at some point, but I'm here to be helpful to you. And if I'm going to sit there and hold your hand in an unproductive manner, that's not going to serve you to the best of your ability and to the best of mine. So what are you paying me for?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what we realize too with that is you will piss people off and like not everyone is going to like you. And that sometimes, and I think almost with clients, at some point they should hate you a little bit. Like, at some point they should not like you. You should like piss them off, you know? And it's working through your own shit to realize like, yeah, that's actually a part of what you do. And that's actually a big part of the job here. And one thing that you mentioned, Ron, which I think is really important to talk about, is the whole mundane aspect of things. It's the same with business, right? Like, there's a shit ton of rinse and repeats that are, they're boring. Like, you know, and you have people being like, your business should be fun. And like, I've been doing some of the same shit for 7 years. I'm like, it still hasn't gotten more fun. Sure, at some point you can like hand it off, whatever, but like, you need to learn the skill set. And it's the same thing with nutrition. Like, you need to learn the skill set of tracking macros, everything when it's, you know, measured gets managed better. So when you have clients that, and I'm sure this, I say when, cause I'm sure it happens, but when you have someone come to you, that's kind of in that like era of just mundane, like nothing's happening, but again, like you said, it's a life insurance policy. There's obviously like a retention aspect to that. And at some point, you know, maybe some people will go off and do their own thing. But I think because you work with Gen Pop too, you probably see it a good bit more where like people are more prone to like something happening with kids or husband or whatever. Right. What does that look like for you? I know that you have that initial communication, but have you ever had it where it's like those clients where it gets kind of boring and they have that, like, I don't say self-sabotaging attack, but it's kind of like they want to pull back and they want to like stop the coaching? Or what's your approach when that's the case?
I smell it from weeks away. I've been doing this long enough to know when people start to disconnect. And when I start to see the video submissions get less frequent, when I start to see them showing up on Zooms less frequently, when I start to see them, you know, missing their check-in forms, I'm already on top of them. I'm like, hey, Miss So-and-so, how's it going? What's going on? I've noticed that you've pulled back a little bit. Is everything okay? Is there something you can do? I can do, because a lot of, because I offer phone calls to everybody and it's on their check-in form. Do you want a phone call this week or not? So I give them that opportunity to tell me whether they want to chat or not. And sometimes people are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's chat. And sometimes the talks are just kind of, hey, what's up? How you doing? What's going on? Sometimes they're very, very emotional. And sometimes they're very 5-second X's and O's, change my macros. How's my training? Let's go to work. A lot of people, I think, even if they pay a coach, they're still hesitant to ask for help because they feel like they're being a bother, or they don't really value the communication because that's just not who they are. They probably have that same type of behavior with their relationships. They probably have that same type of pattern with their kids and their work. So they tend to withdraw when things get hard, or they tend to withdraw when things don't go their way, as opposed to leaning in and wanting to find out why it's happening. So I challenge people to be like, let's have a conversation. Like, you haven't submitted a check-in form in 2 weeks or in 2 check-in cycles. Like, that's almost a month that I don't have any information on you. Like, I see that you're not tracking your food. I see that you're not showing up to Zoom calls. Like, you signed up for a result, but that result can't happen unless there's some active participation with some level of enthusiasm every once in a while. So let's just get to the bottom of it. If you want to just unload and vent to me, I won't give you advice. I'll just sit here and fucking listen. I don't care. It's not, again, I don't, I'm not a fat loss coach. The fat loss is a byproduct of the behavior change.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good because a lot of people too have that fear of, like, I don't say fear of being seen, but also just like they make the investment. And there's also that like transaction. It's a little bit like transactional at first. It's like, okay, like I made the investment and like now things are going to change. It's like, no. Now the work starts. Like, this is the first day of like you going to class. Like, this is where you actually have to like start putting in the work and doing the thing. I think a lot of people, when they throw money, like it depends on the person, right? But it's like they throw money at it and they think like it's a whole new level, and it's like, no, this is where we got to actually do the work. So I think that's really cool, you making the point on just like people who look at the mundane and it's like, yes, this is what it's supposed to be, and it's like a massive pattern interrupt. It's kind of funny to think about, I don't know if you think like this, but it's actually really funny that we have to almost acclimate to things being like still and calm and boring, and like that's actually the thing I think as coaches, at least for me personally, that's like the number one thing I see myself even work with other coaches on, is like, yo, it actually gets to be like calm and you get to be present. And like, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying like, oh, you can make like money and, you know, you don't have to work at all. That's not it. It's like, what I'm saying is like, you get to do it grounded and you get to like self-regulate through it. And I think that's a big misconception we see even with fitness too. It's like, it's not that it's going to be easy, but it's that you get to make it easier through self-regulation and like through acclimating to the times where it's more boring or it's more mundane and you don't go fuck it up because that's what you were taught to do as a kid, or, you know, and I think that's like a big behavior cycle we see.
I work with mostly women, and I think I start to understand the psychology of women a little bit better. A, I grew up in a very matriarchal household. Like, my mom like ruled the roost. So I grew up with a lot more feminine energy than most men did. So I think that kind of just naturally lends itself to me being able to communicate with women more. I mean, I could be a dude in 2 seconds, but guys are simple. You know, it's deconstructing a man's behavior is so easy. Whereas understanding why a woman thinks the way she does about herself or about her weight loss transformation journey or about her body image or any of these things. And there's sometimes where I'm real, real direct. Like, when I hear about like period cravings, I'm like, listen, I've never had a period before, but I would imagine that if I was getting something every single month, that becomes predictable. So if I know that every week during this time of the month, I'm going to be extra susceptible and vulnerable to cravings, maybe I don't keep shit in the house that week. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not invalidating that there's an issue at hand. It's saying that yes, there is an issue, but two things can be true at the same time. You can have an issue, but you can also be good at regulating that issue. Yeah. So you're not powerless against this stuff. So my message to all my clients is that there's going to be peaks and valleys constantly. Like, before the event, a week before the event, I found out that I owed the hotel $128,000, which I did not have. Like, not even a penny of that.
Wow.
So I immediately like freaked out, and like the lowest point of my year happened the day that I got that news. And then fast forward now to like always already like almost a month after the event, I've recently found out that like I'm moving into a new place that I'm really excited about. Like, my client base has kind of grown a little bit. I'm working with a business coach now. So like, you go through these like you always think that the worst thing that's happening to you is going to last forever.
Yeah.
And then that mindset starts to like make your head spin, and it starts to affect all these other decisions that you make downstream. You start working from this place of scarcity and fear, as opposed to saying like, yeah, like shit's going to happen. I'm going to take 24 hours to let it suck, but then I got to regroup. Like I have to keep moving forward. I can't just like sit here in this pit of despair and allow it to swallow every ounce of me and have it affect all my other decision-making. Cause that's not going to be productive for me or my family or my job. I need to build some level of stress resilience to get out of this. And that's what I discussed with all my clients. Like you're like, I had a client who sent me a picture or a video the other day of her doing lat pull downs. And she's like, check out my back muscles. 55-year-old woman who just started lifting weights a year ago. And she's so psyched. Fast forward 24 hours later, she sent me a text message saying, I had the worst night's sleep. I started to relapse on some of my old eating patterns. I overate, I threw up, blah, blah, blah. That's 24 hours. One person who was just so excited about the process and her achievements, fast forward a day later, is going back to her old bulimia patterns. So two things can always be true. And I think people don't give themselves enough credit that that's okay.
Yeah.
Like it's not always going to be this linear upward motion path. Like there's going to be bumps, there's going to be backups, there's going to be sidesteps. And that's what we're here to manage.
Yeah, that's so good. Cause it's like, you think about like the dichotomy, like it's kind of like a dichotomy to manage with clients is what I say is like, yes, you will have cancellations and you will have upset clients. And it also doesn't like make you a bad business owner. It's like a part of the customer success and like the client success that you need to learn how to manage, and knowing that clients can have a day where they're doing really well and then it could literally turn to shit in 24 hours. So just everyone listening, just please like write that down and like put it on a post-it note next to you, not making it mean something about you. And that's kind of the other part with the duality is like, you're holding space for these two different things. And what I find for especially a lot of coaches, honestly, even when I was fitness coaching, is like a lot of people will make it mean something about them that they feel like feel these feelings of like, I mean, if you owe that much money to a hotel, like, of course, it's not going to feel good, right? You know, or like if you didn't eat or whatever, it's like, of course, it's going to feel like shit. But it's like when you sit there in despair and like anger and then judge yourself for it instead of just feeling the anger and like feeling through the feeling and being like, okay, this is how I feel and this sucks, instead of like, this is how I feel and I'm a piece of shit for feeling this way. Yeah. And then, you know, that's where you get it like, okay, that's where you get it like, well, now I'm mad at myself, so I can't do anything. So I'm just going to go eat something else. Like, I'm just going to like fall off of this thing over here. And that's where I call it a poop loop. It's like, you basically, no, it's, I always tell my clients, like, you smell like shit. We need to get out of the poop loop because this is not it right now. And it kind of like adds some sarcasm to it. But when you're in that poop loop, it's like, well, you just keep digging the hole deeper instead of actually building that resilience. So I love that you do the stress management side of things, because I wish more coaches understood, and just people in general for themselves too, is like you're able to regulate through things. And I guess I'm curious, because you hold space for a lot of people and you have for a long time. Is there anything specific that you do for yourself to support like self-regulation or just staying really objective with things that come up for you?
This is kind of my therapy, honestly. You know how like people, some, not that it's healthy, but like people will say like, oh, the gym is my therapy.
Yeah.
It's not, it's therapeutic, but it's not therapy. It doesn't replace cognitive behavioral therapy. But I find that because I have a purpose and I am fulfilled every day helping other people, it keeps my mental health in check, because it holds me to a standard where, you know, the day that I had that got that news, that whole weekend I felt myself being very disconnected and resentful towards my clients. And I emailed them that night saying, guys, I'm in a really shitty headspace. So if the way that I communicate this weekend seems abrupt or seems hasty or seems unlike me usually, that's why. So like I prep them for that. Like I'm like, I don't know how long this is gonna last. I'm hoping this is gonna be kind of a solution that I can find relatively quickly and I'll be back to normal. But I can feel that feeling bubble up. And because I have enough time in CBT and I've done enough of that work on my own, like I'm self-aware enough to know like this is going to suck and it's going to show through with the way I communicate. I don't want people to think that I'm coming at them or I'm not being empathetic to them. It's just, I have this monkey on my back right now and it's relatively heavy for right now. So this is what you're going to expect. So I'm just very open about that stuff. And you know, if I'm having a shit day, my clients know about it. If I'm really excited for something, they know about it. Cause I want them, like, we're a team. Like the way I consider my coaching group people is like, this is a family. Like when you're part of like the 4 weeks to the beach community, like we're all in this together. We all have a very similar vision and goal and direction. And I'm right there with you guys. Like I'm in the trenches doing all the shit that you're doing imperfectly as well, because like, I'm not at my best physique right now. And I know I could be, but I just don't care. Like I'm not placing any emphasis into it. So I don't get to then complain about the lack of my results, because this isn't my priority right now. My priority is like getting settled in a new apartment, growing my business a little bit to recoup the costs of my event, serving my current clientele base and being able to fulfill them to the best of my ability. So like I'm taking a back seat and I understand that. So that also helps them understand that if they're in a season of their life where their priority is not nutrition and it's not training, that they have to expect the consequences to be something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. And I think even too, you mentioning like you've gone through different modalities of like therapy and like worked on gaining levels of awareness. It's like, I think there's nothing wrong with coaches also telling their clients like, hey, that's also a modality that's available to you. And coaches don't have to cover like every base. Like you don't have to be your client's therapist. In fact, you probably shouldn't be your client's therapist. You know, like I think every coach too, at some point having someone to hold space for them to like have those kind of really tough communications and talk through things too is a huge part of being able to grow yourself, which is awesome. I love that you mentioned, like, it's so fucking good to hear someone come on here just like, I have a massive purpose. Like, I love this shit. This is what I do every day. I'd love to just like hear a little bit more of your story on what got you into coaching in the first place, because I don't think I actually know that. And I know you've been doing this for a minute.
I was kind of like the authority figure on like nutrition and training at the office that I used to work at. I was in finance for 7 years right out of college. Okay. So I worked on the floor of a commodity exchange firm in Stamford, Connecticut, and we had a seat on the New York Mercantile Exchange. So I was kind of like the Wolf of Wall Street shit, but I was removed from like the front office. I wasn't like the cool trader that was making a ton of money. I was like two layers back in the back office, but still like doing really well financially, but I didn't take it seriously. But I was like the guy that would like drink green tea instead of coffee at work. I would bring my own lunches instead of ordering the stuff that they gave us. You know, I would always be reaching for like the berries and the fruit at the stack room instead of like all the chips and the crackers. So people would just ask me like, what do you do for nutrition, or what should I do for my workout tonight? And I just gave them answers to the best of my ability, knowing what I knew at the time, which wasn't much. So then everybody just kept saying like, this is what you should be doing for a career. And I didn't really like doing what I did. And then I finally got laid off and March of 2012, our company got like acquired by a couple different firms. And then I just went and bought the NASM book and sat at a coffee shop in Jersey and studied for 3 months, passed the test. And I became a trainer in June of 2012. It was like my first formal training job. But prior to that, I was already taking people to the gym with me and teaching them and like helping them eat better at work. So it's just, there's something about the servitude aspect of this business that's really fulfilling. Like when you can change somebody's life, and the crazy part is this happens on Instagram passively so often, where I'll get people that'll DM me and be like, because of the stuff that you put on Instagram every day, I changed my relationship with food. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. Like, you've never interacted with one of my posts ever. I've never heard a comment from you. I've never seen a DM from you. And then today you said you've been following me for 4 years and you've lost 60 pounds. So I just think that sometimes coaches are so concerned with like increasing their follower count, getting as many clients as possible, but just be consistent with your message and truly let the love for this industry shine through in how you communicate and how you show up every day. And you're going to help people. Like, it doesn't always mean it has to have a monetary exchange, because to me, of course we have to earn a living. I don't ever want to negate that. Like we're not doing this for charity. We need to have money. Like I need to be able to pay the fucking sky high bills that we have here in California, which you're very aware of. So I need to make money, but I don't have this bloodthirsty need to make 100K a month or 50K a month. Like I have a number in my head that will make me very financially stable and comfortable. And it'll also be able to enhance my quality of life, but it's not going to make me this like status seeking, money hungry animal that a lot of people turn into when they start making money, because money, as we know, is just a megaphone for who you are. Yeah. And if I had all the money in the world, I would fucking give it away. Like I would just make people's day. Like I would be the guy leaving $1,000 tips at restaurants. I'd be the guy that would be just like dropping off cash to everybody who needed it. Like, because how much do we really need to live? Like, if I could afford my apartment, if I can get on a plane without having to think twice about the payment, if I could buy dinner, like I like experiences. I don't like stuff. Like I'll never buy shoes or clothes, or I'm never going to upgrade my wardrobe or my office, like all that stuff, whatever. It is what it is. But if you like say like, hey, there's going to be a pool party in Vegas and so-and-so is playing, like, oh, I'll pay $5,000 for that table. Like that's a fucking experience that I can share with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to like, what am I?
One. That's the specific example.
But like, what am I going to do with the shoes?
Right.
Like, I'm going to wear them 3 times a year. I'm going to be terrified that they're going to get dirty. And then I have to like take care of them like they were a child. Like, I don't want that. That doesn't mean like when I die, I'm not going to remember like the shoes that I bought 16 years ago. But there will be memories in my head of that Vegas pool party.
Right.
So to me, like the travel, the experiences, like as coaches, like that's what I'm making money for, because that allows me to actually connect with more people. And I do like understanding the human condition. And the more people I surround myself with, because I am kind of extroverted, I think the better of a coach I become.
Sure. I mean, yeah, just even observing people's like behavior and how they are and, you know, getting to see the different experiences people have been through. And it's like, that's where you also develop the stories that, you know, help even reshape who you are, or who other people are, which I think is really cool. And I think nowadays you look at people's screen time and it's like, well, you know, that was a big part of me moving to Austin, was like, I missed interacting. A lot of my friends left like San Diego and the community left. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much of a different person I am when I'm in community and like when I actually have people to converse with and like be depthful with, because I'm not here for like the surface level shit. And also at the same time, I don't just want to talk to people through my phone, you know? And I think we get a lot of that nowadays where it's like, hey, go out into the world, especially like the newer people I see entering the space, get out into the world. Like, and you don't have to go pay for these like $50,000 events. Like, I'm just saying, like, there are tickets like $200, $600, right? Like, go to the coaches summit, like go to any event that literally is like sub $1,000 a ticket, and it'll be tenfold the like worth the investment just from the one relationship that you get out of it, or like the one knowledge bomb that you get out of it that completely changes the trajectory of your life, you know? And it's like, everyone's so apt to just like sit behind the screen and like be a keyboard warrior. And it's like, who are you when you show up in person with people, right? And like, can you
and it gets lonely too.
It does. Yeah. And it's as if this isn't already, like, especially entrepreneurs, like it can be pretty lonely if you don't make the effort to like go and be around other people. The key is finding people just as weird as you, because you're probably weird as fuck. So you just need to find people who understand that part of you, you know. But I had a question for you, Aram, because I think something I really love about you, I mean, I have a few clients that work with you that just have nothing but amazing things to say, but one thing I really love about you is the effort that you make to make the coaching industry a better place. And I think that's a testament to like you having the Coaches Summit and just like the information that you put out. And I mentioned this to you before we even popped on, but I see just so much bashing of the coaching industry nowadays. And I think about when I was a baby coach, right? I didn't know shit, but I was shadowing trainers at the gym. I was getting every certification I could. I was trying to learn, right? And I think there's a lot of people who want to enter the coaching space. And we see a lot of like the bashing. We see a lot of like, this is what's wrong with the space. I'm kind of trying to advocate more for like, what can we do to make the space a better place? What can we do to actually, because there's inevitably going to be a next generation of coaches. Like, it's going to happen. And I think us who have been in the industry accepting that and actually nurturing those coaches and giving them the right tools and the right opportunities and the right education, that's going to be the key to them coming into the space and actually getting people the right results, doing the right work, doing it for the right reasons. I'm curious, what would you like to see out of people who are just entering the space, and also, I guess, people who have been in the space too, that would make the coaching space better?
I'd like to see an emphasis on a wide array of practical education that's kind of self-seeking, because it's hard. And that's one of the purposes of the Coaches Summit, was to provide a source of education that was credible. And again, when we use words like credible or right or wrong, whatever, like those are very subjective based on our biases as people. So like what I think is helpful or credible is, it could be different than what somebody else feels. So one of the things that I really like, and I have a lot of newer coaches DM me constantly and they ask me questions. And the number one theme I tell them is like, speak with context. Like, if you're going to give somebody advice, just make sure that there's a lot of explanation behind it. And I know that social media's short form doesn't lend itself to that, but that's what the DMs are for. Like, that's why most of my posts are very simple and thought-provoking, but they start conversations. And then I actually facilitate and nurture those conversations. I don't use those posts as bait to sell. I use those posts as bait to have conversations, because I like to interact with people and I like to understand what it is that they're missing. So I'd like to see more coaches start conversations, because like, if this is truly like, don't tell me that you're passionate about it without showing me that you're passionate about it. Like, you better be the coach who's at the grocery store talking to everybody in line about why you're picking these foods versus those foods. Like, make comments about why it's bad that there's candy on every shelf at the grocery store and let people hear it. Start conversations in your community. Go into the Starbucks and have the macro friendly order and explain to people behind you why you're doing it. Like, you should be an advocate for the for healthcare, and you should be an advocate for this industry, because if you start to, if people start to gain confidence that we know what we're doing as an industry, then people are going to come to us for help. Like, I'm thinking the other day, like 50, 60, 70 year old people didn't have our industry to lean on. Mm-mm. 30, 40 years ago. And that's why they're so disordered today. And that's why they have this fixed mindset about like foods are good or bad, or my metabolism is broken, or it's my age, or it's menopause. Like, as opposed to like, no, this is a very gray area, and the human body is extremely variable, and we have to treat it as an individual. But like, if our job didn't exist today, we would have another generation of disordered eaters. So we are on the forefront of something very important. And it's not just about macros and calories. It's about truly healing people's relationships with food and their body image, because they have to understand that the human body responds to its behavior. That's all it is. So like, I want people yelling from the rooftops about what they do. And I do, like, every time I go anywhere, if I'm on an airplane and there's somebody sitting next to me and like my laptop is open, you know, people peek over, and I'll always get questions, and I'll sit there for 5 hours on a cross-country flight and talk about what I do and not work for 5 hours. But a lot of people are like, well, just like, leave me alone. Like, don't talk to me unless you're paying me. And I think that like that paywall transactional conversation to me is so frustrating. Yeah. And I just don't think it's helpful. I think you should be giving out, any good business coach will tell you, give out so much free information that's productive that people will beg you to work with you. And that's exactly what I do. I don't sell shit. Like, I'm just like, here's what I think you can do better. Try it. See if it works. At some point, you probably just have an accountability problem, and that's what I'm here for. But otherwise, like, I don't think that you don't know what you're doing. And I think as coaches, like, people, like, we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, most people are not stupid, and maybe it's just really just a willpower thing, or a discipline thing, or a lack of self-belief thing. And I think coaches are suffering from all those same issues when it comes to coaching. I'm not good enough. I don't know as much as the other person does. Well, who cares? Like, you're not on Instagram, or you're not a coach because you're trying to work with other coaches. You're a B2C person. Like, you're not a B2B person. Unless you're a business to business coach, you're trying to help the general public. So like, you know, if Lane Norton doesn't like what you said about seed oils or whatever, like, that's okay. He's fine. He doesn't need your help.
Yeah.
Like, Mrs. Jones, who's 60 pounds overweight, is the person that you're serving. That's the person who needs help. Like, your imposter syndrome isn't helping her. The little bit of advice that you have as a beginner coach is probably better than what she's getting. So unapologetically and consistently deliver that message, no matter if you think you're right or wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, at the end of the day, if you just like support that person, maybe, I bet you've made so many friends, especially in San Diego, because the people there are so dope. Like, if you're at a grocery store and you just start explaining something, you end up meeting like your bestie. It's like the coolest thing ever when you're, you know, when you're out. And I think that's a big thing too, is like, generationally, I always tell myself, I feel like I'm a super old soul. And like, in this generation, it's so interesting because you see a lot of it, like, again, behind the screen or whatever. And it's like, just going in with some reciprocity, like the law of reciprocity, it might not even come back from that person, but it comes back from somewhere else, you know? And it's like, just by doing goodwill. And I think a lot of people would feel a hell of a lot better about themselves and have less imposter syndrome, or feel like they're never doing enough, if they actually just gave more of themselves freely. It's like, if you feel like you're not doing enough, I'm not saying, yeah, you're not doing enough, but are you just not doing the right thing that's good by your soul? And it's like, if you just actually did the thing that was good for your soul, would you actually feel like you're doing enough because you're contributing? I always call it, it's like the visionary success equation. Like, when you contribute, you feel good. And when you contribute, you're doing the right thing. And it's like, well, if you're not contributing, or you're contributing in a way that's just for attention, then no wonder you don't feel good. Or like,
and
no,
you know that, like, I want people to really, like, what you just said is so important. When you contribute, you should know that you're doing the right thing because you are actually doing it with integrity. Like, when I put stuff out into the world, I don't expect a monetary response. I don't expect to be praised on pedestals. Like, I don't, does it feel good? Of course it does. It's no different than when we try to enhance our physiques and somebody makes a comment. Like, that validation is fucking amazing. Like, everybody loves, like, Sean Pastuch says it all the time. Like, my favorite subject is talking about myself.
Yeah, we all got some ego in there.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think anything in this world, if it's done with the right intention and if it's done with the right frame of mind and place, like I truly do think that like there's nothing wrong with wanting to make more money. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be shredded. There's nothing wrong with being vain. Like all those things can be done productively, and I think they're absolutely fine. I just think that so many people are afraid to be authentic because they're trying to be like somebody else. But we all have the same message. Like none of us are saying anything uniquely different. Like everybody had like health and fitness can be boiled down into these like five principles that will never change. I don't care what happens to our society, what happens to the world. Like strength training will always be the pillar of health. High protein diets will always be the pillar of health. Good sleep, plenty of movement, plenty of hydration, eating mostly whole foods. Okay. Everything else is just a subset of that.
Yeah.
So like what you're saying as a coach in your own way could be exactly what I'm saying in my own way, but it could resonate with two different populations.
Yeah.
And you have an audience, whether it's 45,000 followers on Instagram or whether it's 200 people that you just signed on with. Great. Like you have their attention. Deliver to those people. Don't worry about the followers you don't have yet. Like they're going to come eventually. If your stuff is shareable and it's productive and it's helpful, people will find their way to it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good notes, everyone. Like write them down, put it on a sticky note, put it next to your desk. I love that you use the word integrity. It's the number one thing I think I'd love to see more consistently, because it's not just a feel good feeling for yourself, but I think more people would execute more consistently on the thing they're actually passionate about if they just maintain integrity with who they were instead of who they think they need to be. And it's a good feeling, and it also does good in the world. So, Ram, thanks for coming on, dude. This was a really good episode. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for allowing me the platform. I think I'm always grateful to be on podcasts because it just allows me to say what I want to say and how I want to say it. And if it helps one person, great. And if anybody's listening to this and you guys have questions for me, if you want to bash me, whatever, I don't care. My DMs are always open. So if there's something that you ever need from me, at 4 weeks to the beach is where you can find me. And I'm going to try to do the best I can and be as helpful as possible.
Well, I'll drop that down in the show notes too, so you guys can give them a follow. See you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.